Proverbs chapter 4. I gave you insight. This was going to be my morning message, and God changed my heart to preach this at night and closing out completely Guarding Our Hearts and Homes month. And what I want to look at tonight is God gave us a Bible and a brain. God gave us a Bible and a brain. Sometimes people use the Bible as an excuse to not have common sense. Sometimes people are not using common sense, and they try to argue against the Bible, and it makes no sense at all what they're saying. And I want to look today biblically at God gave us a Bible and a brain. He gave us the Word of God, but He also gave us this big old brain to discern right and wrong. You don't have to be a Christian to know right and wrong. You don't have to be a Christian to have common sense. But when you put together the Word of God and your brain, great things can be achieved. Amen? And so we look in Proverbs chapter 4 tonight. We're going to pick up in verse 20. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. When you find Proverbs 4 and 20, if you would stand with me for the reading and honoring of God's Word. I promise you tonight is a very short message. It's 5:20 on my pulpit clock, and I'll be done by 5:50. Look, we see Proverbs 4 and verse 20. And the Bible tells us, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ears unto my sayings." Now, he is talking about a parental relationship here, context-wise. But as we see here, Father God, we are children of His. We can apply this to the Word of God. "Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." That word health there is important because that literally means physical, emotional, and psychological health. Now, hear me. The Bible and Jesus and church are not the end-all, be-all to all problems in life. Hear what I'm saying? You can have a Bible, but if you don't eat, you're going to die. You can have a Bible, but if you don't drink water, you're going to die. People sometimes get upset with me because some Baptist pastors don't agree with taking medicines that will help you for mood altering or for anxiety or depression. Some folks get upset with me because I might say it's okay for you to go to counseling and get some extra help outside of what I can give you in counseling, some professional help. Maybe it's because I'm married to a psychologist, but maybe it's because I worked in a jail, and there's some people that just need to be on some stuff. Amen. And I believe the resources, people will say that kind of stuff, and I'll say, "Do you take Tylenol?" "Yes." "What for?" "Because I have a headache." "Do you take blood pressure medicine?" "Yes." "Why?" "Because I have hypertension." "Do you take insulin?" "Yes." "Because I have diabetes." Well, if you've got a chemical imbalance, something that you were born with that you can't help, or you've been scarred, or something happened, something traumatic has happened to you in your life, I can give you a biblical counsel, and I can give you a biblical help, but sometimes you need someone who's got degrees on the wall that have all kinds of letters behind them that says they're smarter than me at that subject. And I'm okay with that. I will encourage you to go seek proper counseling and things like that. Now, I also think God gives us things. Don't overdo it with the psychology. I still believe in theology over psychology and all these buzzwords that people use. My wife uses them because that's her life and things, and she knows it gets on my nerves. That's why I don't like Criminal Minds and these things. I don't care about all your toxic masculinities and all of your gaslighters and all. I don't care nothing about any of that mess. Sometimes people just have a victim mentality, and people need to stop being soft too. But that was my soapbox moment, but I didn't feel like getting my soapbox. Keep going here in the Bible. Says in verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and preserve lips, but far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this evening you've given us. Lord, a quick message, but looking tonight at how you gave us a Bible, but you also blessed us with a brain. Father, when we use both, we can see you glorified and magnified in all things. Father, we ask that you help us with that tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. In verse 23, I'd have you to notice that it tells us here to keep thy heart with all diligence. That is literally saying, in some Bibles it would render it this way, it's not where I got it from, but it literally says, guard your heart. Literally what that means. Guard your heart at all costs. guard your heart very carefully. Why? Because it says the decisions of life or the things of life spring or come from those things. From the heart can come goodness and godliness and truth and righteousness. But Jesus said in Matthew 15 that out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts and murders and fornications and adulteries and thefts and false witness and blasphemies. So the heart is not, if it's not carefully guarded, then the enemy, the evil one, will attempt to steal it away and use it for his own purposes. And so verse 23 tells us to guard carefully your heart. Part of guarding carefully your heart is to stay in the safety of the Word of God. And part of guarding your heart is using your brain. They say, oh, it's good to find a spouse. It's good to find a man or a woman. But you also have a brain. If he's somebody's baby daddy three times over, probably ain't the one. Now you say, oh, Pastor, that seems really harsh. So, well, if he left a whole bunch of other women with kids and they ain't taking care of them, why would you want that fool? You got a Bible, but you also got a brain. Fellas, you see a girl and she's got a reputation and then you get with her. I saw this on the news, an NBA player. He was the number one draft pick overall years ago. His name is Joe Smith. He went to Maryland. I remember it like it was yesterday when he got drafted. And he got married to a lady who he knew had a previous life as an adult film star, and then he was surprised when he found out she had an OnlyFans showing her body and making money. And now they're all over the news talking and doing all these things. Well, hello! You married her. Now, I ain't calling her no name, but I am saying to you, you knew what she did for a living before you married her, and now you're surprised she's showing her body to people? Use your brain, man! People say, oh, what the Bible says, but they don't use their brain. Even Dawson said, amen. Verses 25 through 27 speaks of not getting off track with the enticements of sin, not looking to the left or to the right. You're on the highway of life, and there's an exit, and there's exits for sin, and God says, keep on the main roads. Every major highway in America, you go by, and there's exits with adult signs, and you can pull over here, and you can go there. There's enticements, the casinos over here, alcohol over here. And God says, don't look to the left or to the right. Keep straight ahead. Keep on moving in the path of righteousness. But people do this. And this is true. We get off track because sin is fun. Let's just call it what it is. You try to make it sound like it's not true. You say, oh, Pastor, sin is not fun. I'm a Christian. I'm holy. Okay. Goody two-shoes. Stop lying. Sin is fun. Let me make it plain. Sometimes sin looks good. Come on, can we talk a little bit? Can we talk? Brother Carter, is the live stream on? They can hear me, right? But they can't hear them, can they? So you can talk, sorry. It's sin's fun, isn't it? Sometimes sin is fun. Sometimes sin looks good. What do I mean? Well, sometimes you see something. I'm not just talking about in physicalities and sexual things. But sometimes you see something that you know is not good for you, but it looks good and you want it. You know that it's not right. Thanksgiving Day, I'm even though I'm not a bad diabetic, I don't check my sugar as often as I should because it's not that bad, it's under control. But on Thanksgiving Day, I was making sure I was checking it because I knew I wanted to eat all the dessert. And I knew that, you know, 120 is what we're aiming for, but if I eat this dessert, it might be 250, 300, not real good if I don't do this right. And so what you want to do first is, I start my meal with my carbohydrates first. That's my turkey and my ham, you know what I mean? That's my carbohydrates. And then we move to the proteins. That's my chicken and my rabbit's legs and my deviled eggs, and that's my proteins, right? Then I finally get into the carbohydrates, my macaroni and cheese and my mashed potatoes and my sweet potatoes and those things. And then we top it all off, and I say, what kind of pies do we got over here? What kind of cookies and different things? And so I want to keep this at a level. And praise be to God, we kept everything right. We flushed it all out with water and Diet Mountain Dew and made sure that everything was good. And when I checked my blood sugar later on, I was sitting right there at 117. I said, see, God, I was doing the right thing. But I knew that if I didn't do the right thing. It looked good. I wanted some other things. I saw some other things on other people's plates. And I'm joking. I didn't eat all that stuff. But I knew that even though it looked good, it's not good for me. Eve knew that the tree looked good, but it wasn't good for her, but she did it anyway. Sin's fun, though. It tastes good sometimes. Sometimes sin just tastes good. Hear me. Alcohol does not tempt me at all. We had those things out on the things, but I didn't get saved until I was 22 years old. I've had alcohol before. And I don't remember it tasting very good. When I look back at it now, it actually doesn't taste good at all. But you convince yourself it tastes good, and it's fun, and that it's something you like. And people say, well, wine tastes good. Wine doesn't taste good. It tastes disgusting. It's really nasty, actually. Beer doesn't taste good, but you convince yourself of these things. And then once you try it and you start it, then you have convinced yourself that this tastes good and you like it, and sin is fun. They say the average American of appropriate age, 76% of Americans drink alcohol. Now, that number is up 15% from 2010. It's up 47% from 1995. The average American. And don't let me get into the underage drinking and how high that number has gone and climbed. Because it's fun. You go to a party and you drink and you get drunk and it's fun because it's no fun to be at a party where nobody else, where everybody's drinking except for you and you're the only sober person there. I've been there before. It's weird when everybody else is like an idiot. You're like, well, give me some of that so I can act like an idiot too. I mean, these are the things that some preachers aren't going to tell you, but I'm just going to tell you the truth. Let's just be honest. Sin is fun. You say, oh, pastor, maybe that didn't get you, but sin makes us feel good. Again, I'm not going to be crude. You can let your imagination go to some of those things and what, oh, I know I shouldn't do this till I'm married, but it feels good. But let's just leave that out of the equation. Sometimes it feels good to just hurt somebody's feelings because they hurt your feelings. But that's a sin. Somebody made you mad, so you got to say something back to press their button to hurt them because you've been hurt, and it feels good when you get that off your chest. Come on now. Everybody in here has done that before. If you say you haven't, you're a liar, and the truth is not in you, according to the Word of God. At some point in time, somebody's hurt your feeling, and you said something back to them to hurt their feelings. You had to give them a zinger because it felt good. Not because it was right, but because it felt good. But what we're looking at tonight here is this. We need to run away from those things. We need to use the Bible and our brains. We need to listen to our Bible, but we also need to listen to our brain. Let's look at a couple of these things tonight. We need to listen to our Bible and our brain in the facts. Only the facts, ma'am. The young people don't know what I'm talking about, but we'll leave it alone. Watch Nick at Night at some point, but anyway. Facts, not a feeling. The world has become consumed with feelings over the truth of the Word of God. But not only have they become consumed with that, they won't even pay attention to the facts of the Word of God. You think about certain religions and certain people and why they stay in certain denominations and continue to do certain things. It isn't because of the facts aren't there. It's because of tradition and because of what they've always done and because of the feeling, my dad will be upset if I don't go to that church, if I don't do this. My mom will be upset if I don't continue to be in this denomination. And so they're choosing their feelings over true facts. What are some facts of the Bible? No one disputes that Jesus existed. Christian and non-Christian. Muslims believe that Jesus existed. Jews believe that Jesus existed. Now, majority rules, the three largest religions, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, all say that Jesus existed. What you believe about Jesus is up for debate. But the fact that he existed is not. It's a fact. Jesus' race is not up for debate. Jesus isn't black or white. He's a Jew! Fact. It's not up for debate. Jesus performed miracles. Did you know this? No one debates that. Up until the 5th century, Christians and non-Christians all accepted that this man, Jesus Christ, did miracles. You can find it in historical books. It's fact that Jesus died on a cross in Jerusalem. The Romans have it recorded. The Jews have it recorded. Non-believing secular people believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. It's true. Jesus was buried. You know why I know that they believe Jesus was buried? Because even Muslims today are trying to hold on to Jerusalem because they know that Christians know that Jesus was buried there. The problem is they think he might be still buried there. But I know this, Jews don't even believe Jesus is still buried. How do I know that? Even the Bible tells us the tomb was empty on Sunday. We know that. But we know that the Jews, the Sanhedrin, came together and paid the guards that were looking after the body and said, go out and tell them a story that the disciples came at nighttime and stole it. And the Bible says, and that continues to be published until this day. But that's the story, this swoon theory that they say. They say, we know the tomb was empty. This is a fact. This isn't just a Christian Bible fact. This is a world fact that everybody knows. And so we've got these things, but watch what happens. But people know these facts, but yet they still won't use their brain over tradition and different things. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Hold your place in Proverbs and turn to Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to look in verse 3. Mark. Wrong gospel. Mark. Matthew chapter 7 talks about hypocrisy. So Mark chapter 7, verse 3. Let's look what Jesus says about tradition, about using, not using facts, but trying to use your brain over it and not letting your brain allow you to say, you know what, I've got the word of God and a brain, and I need to use them both, and then I'll see the truth. Without your Bible and your brain, you cannot see the truth. This is why Catholicism reigns as the top religion in the world. It's not the top religion in the United States, but in the world it is, because many of them will say, this is the tradition I had. I grew up with the catechisms and this Christian Catholic education, and so I stay in this, or certain cults of the world and certain things. This is why. Look what Jesus says here in Mark 7 and verse 3. He says, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands, oft eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they receive to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. So the Pharisees come to him and say, why don't your disciples wash their hands? Why do they defile the bread? They don't do like they're supposed to do, as it's written. Jesus says here in verse 5, the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Now watch what they said, the tradition of the elders. They disregard the scripture, the Bible, for their tradition, for traditionalism. So they don't use their brain or their Bible, really. They're just trying to use their brain, but they're not using the word of God. If they would use both. So Jesus teaches them here, you need to use your Bible and your brain. He says this in verse 6, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. He says, you're teaching tradition as doctrine. You're teaching tradition that this has to be done. You're teaching that we do it this way because that's what your forefathers said, because that's what men say, but it's not the truth of the word of God. That's how you become a cult. When you do something that a man says over what the word of God says. That's how you become something that's not true religion, when you do something, or biblical religion. Verse 8, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things ye do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. We hail Mary, but the Bible says she's not worthy to be hailed. We pray to saints, but the Bible says there's no reason to pray to anyone, that there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Come on. That's just not using your brain. If you got a Bible and a brain. But watch what he says. This is why they won't get it. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift, that was a certain gift in the Jewish world, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. Sound like anything? Sounds like a cult, doesn't it? Sounds like something where they say, we'll hold up tradition. Why do we keep going to church on Saturday? Because we say that's the Sabbath day. But the Bible clearly says that they started worshiping on Sunday on that very first Easter. Bible and a brain. Use your brain. Keep on going there. Jesus says, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. He goes on and talks about what defiles a man and these different things. Jesus says, what defiles a man is not what's written in Scripture, but the things that you hold from your brain. What you hold in Scripture is righteous, amen, when we do it correctly. But the tradition of men is kept, and so we look at this. Those aren't facts. You know why? You can't create new facts. The facts are the facts. They are what they are. People say, it is what it is. Let me give you a good fact. You're a boy or you're a girl. Come on. You don't get to change it. The only animal that I've ever known to change its sex was Nancy's bird. She had a bird. Remember, if you don't know the story, Nancy had a bird for 17 so odd years. I began to pray that her and Bud would have a child. And this girl bird, Petunia, began to lay eggs. This boy bird, it was Pete. And so the boy bird began to lay eggs. So we realized by the miracle of God that the bird had changed from a boy to a girl. So we renamed it Caitlin. I mean, Nancy was the vet tech. She's supposed to know if it's a boy or a girl. So it had to have changed. It's only being... You're a boy or a girl. It's a fact. The Bible says it, and my brain tells me that is true. Amen. Let me be a little crude tonight. You got a plug or an outlet? Some people are afraid to say it. I'm not scared. I'm going to say it. It is or it isn't. It's a fact. Use your Bible and use your brain. Common sense just tells me, you know what? That don't equal up. It don't match up. Number two, listen to the Bible in our brain and our faculties. What am I talking about, our faculties? Our brains. God giving you a right mind. He's giving you faculties. He's giving you an understanding. He's giving you right thinking. That's what that is. The opportunity to have right thinking. If you are in your right mind, then there should be this little common sense thing in there that just says, does this make sense? Teenagers, no offense, but you don't have this. No, listen. This isn't a joke. Biologically, it isn't developed in them yet. It's developing. And not until they're about 20, 21 years old does the frontal lobe come to that point. Girls get it faster than boys. Sorry, Chuck. But they're not fully developed yet. Now, here's the issue. I thought I was talking about the teenagers, but I'm really talking about you. But some of y'all have never got it. Some of y'all are still just dumb as a box of rocks. And don't have no common sense. Things that God clearly said no to, you don't have no common sense, and you go, oh, I wonder if this is okay. No! It's not! Because God said it's not. Now watch. Look at Proverbs 14, 15. Proverbs 14 and 15. Use your brain. Common sense. In Proverbs 14, 15, the Bible says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. What does that mean? It means that the prudent man or the wise person approaches life with caution and discernment. We research the topic, we pay attention, and then we take the best path in going forth and doing it. We don't just go all willy-nilly and just try to do whatever. We actually do things that make sense. You ever seen somebody doing something and you say, man, if they would just stop. If they would just give you a prime example. Brother Jeremy, I like this. If you're going to work on something that can shock you, turn the breaker off. It's common sense. Now, electricians like Jeremy, they don't ever turn the breaker off. They just work around it because they're just crazy. But for you common folk, don't just be up in there sticking a butter knife up in there trying to get it to work. You gonna die. Use some common sense. Let me give you this little helpful hint, a little nugget. When you see a yellow light, that don't mean speed up. Now, look, everybody here guilty. No, nobody wants to say nothing about that. They all put their head down in shame. Oh, Lord. The yellow light doesn't mean speed up. It means caution, that this is a good time for you to start slowing yourself down a little bit. But I know how y'all do. It just turned yellow, and you said, you had to get through that red light, because that 1.5 minutes that it was going to take for you to sit there was just going to ruin your day. You might want to leave a little earlier if you're always late, so you don't have to worry about that. Listen, the wise person approaches life with caution and discernment. God would not, let's talk about some things that happen in religion. People have a Bible, but God would not have you walking around church or walking around a worship service acting like a drunkard. He ain't going to have you walking around speaking in weird languages, jumping up and down, doing all kinds of crazy stuff, doing cartwheels. Like, God's not the author of confusion. You got a Bible, but you also got a brain. Oh, well, we got the spiritual gifts. That ain't one of them. Come on. He gave you a Bible and a brain. You say, well, my family, we grew up Pentecostal, and I believe that everybody speaks tongues. No, they don't. First of all, the Bible says if they're going to speak that way, they got to have an interpreter. And I've been to some services, and I heard people say, and nobody told me what they said. I was preaching somewhere one time in this ecumenical place, and there was this Pentecostal pastor there from Brookville. And while I was preaching, he starts saying, and I said, sir, could you stop that? We don't understand you. I'm up here speaking plain English. Could you just stop that? I'm Baptist. We don't do that, he said. I said, thank you. And I kept preaching. I'm serious. I did. And I kept preaching. I don't know why I want to hear all that. I'm up here trying to speak, and you over there, you hush all that. God gave us a Bible and a brain. You don't understand your pastor. I'm pretty bold. Nobody know what you're talking about. Stop. There's this older white dude, and I'm like, boy, I will break your hip right here, right now. You keep talking. I'm about to get violent in here, man. Shut up while I'm up here preaching. Say, I told you, we don't hold back. We just say what we say. God would not have you to sin. People use the Bible and say, well, I'm not sure that that's what it really meant. And they're using it. God would never have you to sin. Well, I think it's okay. People say, well, I think it's okay if we do this or if we live this way because God would understand. He would get, no! He doesn't understand or accept sin. It is or it isn't. Well, don't you think that God would allow, it would be okay if I said this or if I went there? No! He gave you a Bible and a brain. Use them both. But see, we also have this issue in the Christian church of credulity. This easy believing. It's credulous would be a good word. It's easy believism. I want you to understand this. We certainly are not Calvinists, and we believe in the Word of God that anyone can be saved, but we also are not a church of easy believism. We believe that there's two parts of salvation. You must repent and believe. You must be born again. You can't just say, I love Jesus and I'm saved. It don't work like that. Salvation is not a magic bullet. Salvation is a life-changing, born-again salvation, miracle work of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Bible says it, and your brain should tell you. You know what? Some people say, you Baptist things are too easy to be saved. Not a real Baptist. Because I'll tell you the truth here. See, easy believism tells you it's just belief. But they'll quote Ephesians 2 and 8, what's written above our sanctuary doors, and I love that verse, but what they don't do is take it in context, because for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, but as the gift of God, lest any man should boast, or not of works, lest any man should boast. But the very next verse says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It says, after you're saved, there'll be some good works produced. We'll be able to tell that you're saved. Because it wasn't just easy believism, because easy believism doesn't cause you to change. It just says, I believe in Jesus. So we got all these people walking around at these non-denominational places of worship, and we just love Jesus, and we sing the songs, but they never changed their behaviors, their actions. They never really got saved. These are the people that Jesus says, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord. He said, we've prophesied in your name and cast out devils in your name. And Jesus says, not everybody that says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom. Why? Because what happens is there's no change. It's a simple acceptance, but there has to be an acceptance and a repentance which will cause you to use your brain. And the question is, when you're really using your brain, is, do I really want to follow Jesus? they sing the song and people wear their t-shirt when they get baptized. I have decided to follow Jesus. Just believing isn't deciding to follow Jesus. Because there was a lot of people in the Word of God, here's your Bible, but here's your brain as well. There was a lot of people in the Bible that said we believe and follow Jesus, but when it got hard, they turned back and followed him no more. You can look it up. It's in there, Book of John. It takes both. Because when it gets hard, that's the true test of the disciple. Jesus says, in this world ye shall have tribulation. He didn't say everything's going to be perfect as soon as you get saved. He said, actually, when you get saved, your whole life is new, but things are about to get rocky, baby. Use your brain. Do I really want to follow Jesus? I don't want a credulous situation or relationship. I don't want people to walk the aisle. I don't want people to come and just say, even when I say pray and follow me, I never ever, there was someone who looked at me this morning, but I'd not tell you today that they got saved because I don't know, because I haven't talked to them. And I need to go and talk to them and see if there's further evidence that they really believe what they prayed and that they're ready to change, ready to do different, that they're really ready to follow Jesus. Now, I can only know that to a little bit of a level. I can only see that, and ultimately their fruit will bear it out and I'll see it in their life. But I do know this, that I'm not going to just have everybody that scratches their nose and talk about, yeah, you got saved. Every time when I say lift your eyes, everybody just does this real quick and right back down. I'm not counting that head nod. You got to give me a look, and once you look, then we'll talk about it and go further. But listen, there's some churches that everybody, they get to invitation time, they say raise your hand or look at me, and if somebody scratches their nose, they say, I see one. He just had an itchy nose, bro. They say, oh, somebody did this through their hair. Oh, I see one. No, we don't believe in easy believism. That's not us. We believe that you must believe and repent. And it takes your brain to repent. It takes your Bible. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God to believe. But it takes your brain to repent because you got to really want to change. If you just say, I believe, but you never thought about changing, you didn't get saved. Unfortunately, they say in American churches, even Bible-believing churches, that about half of the people in the congregation aren't really saved. They prayed a prayer, they called upon the name of the Lord in some sense, but they never really had it in them to really want to change and to be different for the Lord. And it's bared out by their fruit. They don't do nothing. They don't serve the Lord. They don't ever tell nobody about Jesus. They don't never read their Bible. They don't never pray. They don't care if they really show up to church or not. They never say anything nice or love people. It's bared out. Statistics say there's some of you here tonight that aren't really saved. Now, whether that's true or not, that's for God to bear out. But finish with this. The last thing, God gave us a Bible and a brain in faith. In faith. Don't turn there, but John 5:39, verse 40, Jesus is talking. The Jewish people have come to him, and they're about to try to get him, and they're trying to do all kinds of things, and they're saying all kinds of bad things, and they're mad because they're saying that Jesus made himself equal with God, which he is God. And they're so mad, and Jesus says this to them in John 5:39. He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. He says, and they are they which testify of me. The scriptures that you have, they had the Old Testament. They talk about me. Look at Isaiah. Look at Micah. Look at Joel, Jesus is telling them. And he says, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. What does that mean? There are so many people out there that can hear this word of God, the words of life, over and over and over again. Some of your family members and friends, you have preached this to them. You've given them the word of God. They've got a Bible, but their brain won't allow them to accept the truth. Jesus says, you've got the scriptures, and you know they're talking about me. He says, but ye will not come to me that you have life. You won't use your common sense, your brain, to say, you know what? There must be something about that. Watch this. Some of you are recently saved. Some of you have been saved for a decade. Some of you have been saved for 30, 40, 50 years. You got family members and friends who you've preached to, have come and sat with you in church, have heard the same words that you accepted and believed in your heart and with your brain. They watch you share on Facebook your beliefs and your church. They understand you come to church early in the morning and again later in the evening and perhaps on Wednesday. They understand you go to a ladies' meeting or to a men's conference. They understand that something about you is different, something's changed, and they've heard the word of God. So what is it? What's the difference between an Alex Bell who gets it and walks an aisle and gets saved and gets baptized, now his wife and his little girl are in church, but he's got family who see the change in him and see him moving on and see him go to a men's conference and hang out with the crazy pastor from Trotwood, but they refuse to change? What is it that would hold them back, but one gets it and one doesn't? What is it in Jeremy and Christy Brister that they got family that don't go to church and don't want to follow this way, and they see them do it. They see them give up their entire life to serve. They see Brother Jeremy work countless hours and Miss Christy working countless hours and then come into the church and serve and bring their kids here and do everything they possibly can for the glory of God. But then their own family won't see it. What is it? They've got the same word. Some of them grew up in the exact same church. What is it that I got family, that I got friends that saw me low down, dirty in the bottom of a bottle at a bar, that saw me out running and cussing and fussing and fighting, and they saw the glory of God come upon me and change my life as I got saved and start to follow the Lord and be in church and become a preacher, and still and yet they won't get it? What is it? It's the same Bible, but common sense. Their brain won't allow them. Jesus says, "You won't come to me that you might have life." God gave us a Bible and a brain. We need to stop this. Oh, well, people are just going to get it. People are just going to do. No, it's going to take some people to come to grips in their brain that this is true, that this Bible is true. Because they heard the Bible. You've been thumping them with the Bible. You've been preaching the Bible. But there's a disconnect from the brain. But Christian, let me be real careful with you. But sometimes the reason why they can't get over that may not be you. It's because there have been so many other Christians out there that got a Bible, but they act like they ain't got no brain, that there's just a little bit of hesitation. This is me. This isn't the scriptures, but the Jews, I want you to think about this. Sometimes we're hard on the Jews and say, why wouldn't they get it? Jesus was right there. Why wouldn't they just accept it? They had the word of God. Think about what the Jews have been through. They had bad priests, bad scribes. They've been put into captivity. They were taken out of captivity. By the time Jesus comes on the scene, 400 years, God sent no prophet. There's no more word from God. Malachi ended. There's an intertestamental period, and now we get to this new period, and they're thinking to themselves, we're in Caesar's hands. We're here in Rome. We got this nasty King Herod that got with his brother's wife and watched his little niece dance, and then he cut off John the Baptist's head, who we thought was the guy, and here we are. And then Jesus is preaching, and they say, well, it's hard for us to believe because we've seen how these so-called spiritual people have been acting. We hear the word of God, but our brain tells us these people's trifling. Why should we want to be like them? Christian, God gave you a Bible and a brain. And it takes you using both to magnify and glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father God, thank you for this evening that you've given us. Lord, we pray that you would help us use our Bible and our brain. You have well endowed us with facts. You have well endowed us with our facilities and, Lord, with the ability to have a receiving faith in Jesus Christ that comes through belief and repentance. Father, tonight we ask, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed and the music begins to play, that should there be one here tonight or watching online that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. That what they're about to hear from the Bible would be comprehended by their brain, and they would say, I want to change. I want to be completely different, a new creature, born again. Because that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Is it you that needs to be saved and know it tonight? Hear ye the words of the Bible and allow your brain to facilitate its truth to your heart. that can save your soul. Hearing and understanding that the Lord God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And in doing so, he gave an opportunity for all to recognize that they are sinners because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. To recognize that Jesus literally went to a cross and he commended his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. And oh, the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you can be saved and know it today by believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth. What are we confessing? We're confessing that God raised Jesus from the dead. And that confession and inside of that belief is wrapped up, I believe that so strongly that I want to be different than I was. And I want to follow you in righteousness. If you can believe that here tonight, you've accepted that and you're really ready to change, to be born again. We're not going to sing tonight, but we're going to take a few bars. You come, you walk down this aisle today, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You tell the Lord tonight, in front of God and these people, that today I repent and I believe. I've used the Bible and my brain to come to terms that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Son of Man. Christian, what about you? Could you be better using your Bible and your brain? Maybe so. Maybe you want to join Assurance Baptist Church or be scripturally baptized, whatever the order of the day is in your life. Maybe you just want to come and pray or give God thanks at an old-fashioned altar, whatever it might be tonight. You come now, even as the music plays. Come on, and you talk to the Lord. Lord, have your way and will with this time of invitation and appeal in Jesus' name.